Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the CJ Evolution podcast. I am Patrick. I'm the host and creator of this great podcast. This is episode 217, and we continue to grow because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much. Special thanks to everyone, men and women working in the criminal justice field, no matter what you're doing, putting it out there every day on the line. Thank you so much for what you're doing out there. You have much support. You know, we all talk about what we're going to do after law enforcement or whatever you're doing in criminal justice. My next guest is going to help you get there. He's been there before, worked in detentions across the pond in the UK, and one day he decided to leave. He decided to take that chance and go on that entrepreneurial route, and he is a rock star. He's super successful. He's going to show you how to get there, because sooner or later, folks, we're all going to leave this profession. We're all going to do something else. We're living longer. We have more opportunities than ever. You're going to love this guest. Grab a pen and paper and take some notes. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am very excited to have Alexander Seary on the show from across the pond in the UK. If you don't know who Alex is, he's a best-selling author, speaker, successful entrepreneur, business coach, and investor. Alex, are you there, my friend?
I am, Patrick. How are you?
Well, thank you so much. I know you're probably very busy. I know off the air you said you were in New York here in the States about a week ago, and I know you're a busy man. Thank you for being on the show. I gave a little bit of a bio of you. Is there anything you want to add, sir?
No, really. Well, I was an ex-detention officer for Nottinghamshire Police here in England, and I was an officer for about 4 years in total, and then in 2016, I made the transition into entrepreneurship.
Now, why did you, I want to ask you, why did you leave the police force? What was the catalyst, Alex? What was the reason?
So growing up as a kid, I always wanted to become a police officer. It was, you know, a big goal of mine. I was obsessed with police officer films and so forth. And when I actually got into contact and surrounded by my, you know, fellow colleagues at the time, I started to realize, actually, these people aren't so happy with their jobs. And it was a big shock to me.
No.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And, I was surrounded. I was started pondering. I thought to myself, do I want to end up like these people in 5 to 10 years' time? Because I firmly believe, you know, if we bake the same cake in life, we're typically going to get that same result. And there's typically three problems that a lot of police officers in the UK face, which is a lack of time. You know, a lot of cops are spending way too much time away from family due to shift work. They're undervalued, so they're not paid their worth, which makes them feel underappreciated, and heaps of stress due to austerity and basically just a lack of resources available to them, which only increases their workload. And I really didn't want to go down that route, and I made the decision then to actually not progress my career with the police service.
Now, and thank you for your service, Alex. Now, when you decided to get out of police work, I mean, did you get any kind of criticism from your colleagues? I mean, were they like, oh, you can't? Because I agree with you. I think so much of our success is based on our environment, who we surround ourselves with. And if you stay in that negativity, you're going to become negative. I mean, did you get any flack? Did you get any criticism for people saying, oh, Alex, you can't do this, you're going to fail? You've probably heard it before, but did you get any criticism like that?
Yes. So in the initial stages, when you start getting out in a new venture, people don't take you seriously. Now, one of my mentors, Daniel Priestley, always states, you know, your environment dictates your performance. So outside of the job, the police service, I had, you know, mentors all around me, other entrepreneurs that supported my ambitions. So although I didn't have, you know, complete support from all of my team.
You never will. You never will have complete support.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. There's a handful of people, you know, my sergeants, my inspector at the time, and a few other detention officers who really supported me. And they're still friends with me today, funny enough. But the other people who didn't really support me, unfortunately, they're still in the job. I'm assuming they're still moaning about their circumstance in the job.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people out there this too, Alex, that are perfectly content. I know many, obviously, you know, I'm here in the United States. It's probably a little bit different in the UK, but there's a lot of people that are doing the job, probably in the UK too, that enjoy it. But yep. Like you said, I mean, it's very demanding physically, mentally. It's time away from, you know, the home and the family, and that takes a toll over time. You talked about mentorship, and I'm with you, Alex. I think mentorship is so important. How do you find a good mentor? I get asked that a lot, and people are like, well, how do you find a mentor? What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's a great Chinese proverb that says to know the journey ahead is to ask those coming back. So it's important, firstly, to find someone who's actually got the results you want to get. So quite freely, you know, friends, family even, can give business advice when really they haven't got any credibility in business at all. They just like to give advice. Mm-hmm. So when you seek a mentor, it's really important that they've got some kind of success in an area that you want to succeed in. Now, my mentors, you know, going back from when I first started in 2015, I've always joined programs. So I would, you know, pay money and I would be surrounded by these mentors and learn from them strategies so I can progress forward with my life. Mm-hmm. And that's basically how I started my first company and with Shifts to Success as well.
Mm-hmm. Now talk about what was the first company that you started right out of police
yeah,
work?
So it was so I started my first business whilst I was working full time in custody, and it was a property development company. So I would buy houses, refurbish them. I would then run lettings at the side of that, and within a year, I was able to triple my income. And I then made the decision to resign because I had a bit of a situation in custody where I got actually caked in human feces.
So
I made the decision there and then.
I'm not going to do this for the next 20 years.
Exactly. <Yeah.
laughs> Now, you mentioned Shift to Success. I want you to talk about that a lot because it's a great business. I was spending time a little bit on this morning on your website. Can you tell us about it? Because it's a great service, great company, what you're doing over there.
Of course, yeah. So Shifts to Success is a business training company that specializes in operating structured business programs that exclusively support ex and serving police officers here in the UK. And we do this by teaching the six-step methods of entrepreneurship, which is ideas, planning, branding, implementation, products, and sales. Now, these six steps, which basically my book was written on, we have some of the UK's top award-winning business mentors teaching officers within those individual steps. So we have Andrew Priestley, we have Sapna Piriou, we have Timothy Han, we have Stephen Thompson, Robin Waite, and James White, who get to teach these officers these remarkable insights to make sure they're doing the correct steps necessary to build a business, which is all basically entrepreneurial ideas geared towards business success.
That's awesome. And I imagine the people you're getting, the people that you're coaching and mentoring, are people who want to be there, obviously. But what are some of the challenges that you see, Alex, and your team sees with some of the roadblocks some of your clients faced? I mean, is it just trying to get out of that mentality of going from law enforcement or police work into the entrepreneurial mindset? Or what are some of the challenges?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the point there. So basically, because a lot of officers and a lot of our clients are currently serving in the force, they have a bit of a transition to make in entrepreneurial thinking. Now, I firmly believe, and Shift to Success would not exist, I firmly believe that police officers' skill sets are very correlated towards entrepreneurial thinking. So from resilience, assertiveness, communication, teamworking, problem solving, organizational skills and communication, all very strong attributes that very successful entrepreneurs have. But the mindset is a bit of a shift. So a lot of police officers here in the UK, can be quite cynical and negative, and it's about making that transition, making help and supporting them to think like an entrepreneur rather than a police officer. So that's one big roadblock, really. But to be honest, since it's been going, the team's really be able to put some things in place to make sure that they are thinking like entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and the first steps are so hard too, as you know, Alex. I mean, I get asked, because people say, well, how did you start your podcast? How did you do this? How did you do that? And I always tell them, and I learned this a long time ago, and you probably heard it. Once you figure out the why, the how is much easier, right?
100%, absolutely. So, I mean, there's loads of why. So people, police officers want to spend more time with their family, they want to earn more money, they want to travel more, and they can't do that with their current environment in the police service. But being your own boss in business actually solves all of that. You know, I get to live life on my terms now and basically get to do what the hell I want, and that's what we're encouraging police officers to do.
Yeah, and because, you know, I mean, and this is what I tell people, and you know, everybody knows this, but we don't think about it. Life's too short, man. We're not here for very long when you really think about it. So
we're not coming back.
We're not coming back. You don't
we're not coming back.
You don't get a replay.
Exactly.
And, you know, why do you – and I was that officer, Alex, years ago. I was pissed off. I was cynical. I was angry. But then I did what you were talking about. I kind of changed my environment and you know, started doing some meditation and some other things, taking care of myself better. And it made all the difference in the world. And the point is that, yeah, we only have so much time. Why spend it being irritated or pissed off? If you're mad in your job, or you're pissed off, leave.
Change your
environment.
And that's completely right, you know, and that's one of the things we're supporting police officers with. You know, if they're upset and they're waking up unhappy, you know, life's too short to be unhappy. And for myself, you know, I don't want to die with regret. I think
number one reason on the deathbed, you know,
yeah,
is regret.
Regret. It is, and I want to live, you know, and make sure that it's like watching a film. You know, when you watch a good movie or you go to a good restaurant, you want to tell everyone about that, right? That experience you've had. And this is what we want to do with entrepreneurship. You know, we're beyond the police force right now. We get to live life on our terms. We are, you know, highly paid. And basically, we're making an impact in our own way. And it's teaching police officers you can achieve this also.
Now, on the website, Shift to Success, you talk about the accelerators.
Mm-hmm. That's right. People
need to do accountability, clarity, environment, and structure. Can you elaborate a little bit more on those?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are ACEs. So you've got accountability to make sure that we're spotting police officers, making sure that they are progressing, because we've all got things going on in our life and it's very easy to procrastinate on certain activities to actually move us forward. So we don't want to get confused between, you know, doing certain activity and actually we should be focused on productivity.
Mm-hmm.
We've got clarity. So, you know, when I first joined the police service, all these terminologies that I would hear on the radio, you know, I would hear, you know, on the DNA side of things, they were very confusing. So we recognize that going into business for the first time, that can always be confusing as well.
Sure.
So we kind of cut away from the jargon and make sure that police officers understand in a very clear way what business terms are, really.
Yeah. The environment, and we talked about it, very, very important.
Environment, yep. So environment, you know, one of my mentors says environment dictates performance. We hand select police officers who we believe are going to be a right fit. So people apply for accelerators, and if we believe they're not going to be a right fit for the cohorts, then unfortunately we would basically say to them, unfortunately, you can't join this year, but hopefully, you know, read this book, read that book, check this podcast out, so we can develop that kind of mindset. We don't want anyone who's going to be slacking or who's going to join the program and think they're going to become successful by just learning. They've got to start doing. So that's one key thing.
And what about structure?
Structure, yeah. So our accelerators, we have 9 workshops, we have an online portal, we have webinars, and this 6-step methodology is released to them in certain intervals over the year. So it's not bombarding them with a complete, you know, here's the kind of work, go and do the work, because that can just get overwhelming. So structure, it's released them on delayed and precise time points within their entrepreneurial journey.
That's excellent, Alex. You are also, like I said in the intro, a best-selling author. You got a best-selling book out there. Kudos to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Police officer to entrepreneur. Can you talk a little bit about that book? I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but can you talk about it a little bit?
Of course, yeah. So first of all, it's not a biography. So it's written for police officers who are thinking about going into business for the first time. So the subtitle for the book is The 6-Step Method for Building a Successful Business Beyond the Force. And this 6-Step Method is basically what I built, which enabled me to resign from the police service and become financially independent. So it talks about the ideas, the planning, the branding, the implementation, the products and the sales, but also a bit about how the police forces changed over years,
mm-hmm.
how police officers are facing real bad problems currently due to austerity, how they should think if they want to become successful beyond the force, and why now, in, you know, out of all the years in history, why now is an excellent time to become an entrepreneur.
It is the best time. I've said this before, and you know this, Alex. This is the best time in history.
Yes, it is.
To become an entrepreneur, we have... I mean, think about what we're doing right now with technology. You have the ability to... We're talking. You're over in the UK. I'm in the United States. Technology is amazing. We have the ability to self-publish, right? I don't know if you self-published your book or not, but I mean, we have so much... There's so much opportunity out there right now. We just need to leverage... We just need to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it makes you think, you know, like Andrew Carnegie, you know, back in the 1930s, Napoleon Hill and Rockefeller, you know, they didn't have all these laptops and Skype and, you know, Zoom and all these technology apparatus we have right now. And they yet became very successful. And it kind of makes me cringe when people say, oh, no, I could never be successful. How did they do it back in the day? They didn't have accelerators. They didn't have business programs.
Exactly. And it amazes me, with the podcast in particular, it amazes me, and now I can get best-selling authors like you on the show just reaching out to you. Now, not everybody wants to come on, but the majority of people do. You couldn't do that back in the day. There were certain gatekeepers, you know, you had to go through. I reach out to people directly and say, hey, would you like to come on the show? And 90% of the time, they're like, yes. I mean, we live in the best time in the world.
I truly believe that.
Now, did you always want to write a book?
It's funny. So, I can remember when I was a kid at school, I used to write quite a bit, but I was never good at it. And I always wanted to become an author, just because I wanted like a bit of a self achievement thing. Like, yes, I've done it. It wasn't so much I want to write a story, but I want to inspire people. You know, I want police officers to read the book and think, well, I'm inspired, you know, I'm going to change my life, I'm unhappy, I want to take action. That's why the book's written. So I did, but I just didn't know it was going to be called Police Officer to Entrepreneur, or aimed at police officers, back when I thought about writing a book.
Well, I'm going to order the book, and I hope everybody else does, because I consider myself an entrepreneur too. What are some tips you can get? Because I think everybody, especially police officers, have one book in them.
yeah, absolutely.
I just, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them. What are some of the tips you can give to aspiring authors out there?
Yeah, so I would, first of all, get a good mentor. So, you know, from my book to the business to, you know, training in the gym, I've always had people around me mentoring me on how to actually do things. So number one, actually get a mentor who's going to teach you how to write a book. Secondly, get some structure in place. You know, what's the objective for the book? Is it to inspire people so they take action and reach out to you? Mm-hmm. Or is it to, you know, write, I don't know, a fiction book and to, you know, get yourself out there like J.K. Rowling? Mm-hmm. So an objective is always clear. And also, I'd probably say that be authentic. I think, you know, being authentic and, you know, being the real you and not using big words when you don't have to, just to impress people, is actually goes a long way, and that actually brings people into the book, which is, you know, really a good thing.
Great advice. What's your favorite book?
So my favorite book is something called The Slight Edge by Jeff Alton. It's a fantastic book. It's a game changer for me. When I read that book, it enabled me to really elevate my business, my, you know, mindset, my fitness, to a different level. So yeah, fantastic book.
Now, most of the people I interview, Alex, I find that they have certain morning routines to get them started. Not everybody, but a lot of successful people do. Do you have a morning routine? Can you share it with us?
I do, yeah, absolutely. So, and you're completely right. A lot of successful people do. I wake up at 4:30 every morning, AM. Mm-hmm. I then have my pre-workout, which is very like caffeine intensive. I then head to the gym probably about 5:15 or something like that. On the way to the book, on the way to the gym, I would then listen to an audiobook. I'd then continue listening to the audiobook whilst I'm training in the gym. I'd come back from the gym and have a protein shake, and then I'd read an actual physical book. So at the minute, I've got it in front of me. I'm reading Influence by Robert Cialdini. And then about 6:30, 7:15, I would then crack on with my day.
That's excellent, and I love that. You know, I'm an early riser like you. I get up, I meditate. I love meditation. Not a very long time, usually about 10 minutes, and then I journal. you know, read a little bit, and then like you, I'm out the door. I'm usually at work by about 6:30. So I think it's so important that, that people have a morning routine. Not that you're going to fail if you don't, but I think it kind of sets the tone for the day.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's science behind it as well. Mm-hmm. When you wake up early, and to compare to wake up late, as you go on through the day, your actually decision-making power depletes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, you'll get, you know, entrepreneurs hearing about the night owls and so forth, when actually, you know, that's not correct. If you're going to make your best decisions out of the day, you want to do that in the morning when there's no distractions from text messages to, you know, emails and so forth. So
excellent. Yeah. Now, if you could give one tip, sir, or mm-hmm. a plan of action to get started out there for all the listeners, mm-hmm. what would it be?
I think it's got to come back to mentorship again. You know, so many police officers have these amazing ideas, but they don't know what to do with the idea. So, you know, again, one of my, you know, mentors says, a lot of people have the idea for the business, but not the business for the idea. And they don't know what to do to progress and change their lives because they just don't know what to do. Yeah. It's like if you were to, you know, go on duty as a police officer for the first time and you didn't have any training, you would probably get hurt out there on the streets. You'd probably do something wrong. And we want to encourage police officers, actually, if you want to change your life, if you want to break out, make the change and live your life, then have that support and guidance from someone who's already achieved that.
Excellent advice. Alexander, where can people find you, sir, if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah, sure. So it's www.shiftstosuccess.com, or I'm on Instagram at shiftstosuccess and also Twitter at shiftstosuccess, or drop me an email at alex@shiftstosuccess.com.
And like I said before, off the air, Alex, I will have all your information, including his great book, listed in the website, and all his social media listed in the show notes. Alex, thank you so much, sir, for coming on the show. You're a rock star. We love what you're doing here at the podcast. We wish you nothing but success in the future, sir.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Thank you for the invite. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.